We're about to go to Chocolate City.
Let's get it!
The capital of the United States.
Woo! You know, haters are haters, you know. They control the mouth.
Merry Christmas, little man!
Commitment to fucking playing defense.
I'm not eating cat food either.
What's this all about? We're on the kiss cam. I feel a little reluctant to take that.
How sweet.
That thing was really strong.
Look out, Nene and Butler butting heads, looking at each other.
Broadcasting from the capital of the free world, this is Zardcast.
Welcome to Zardcast. I'm your host, C.T. Schwenk. Thank you for joining us this fine Thursday, March 10th, 2016. Follow us on Twitter at Zardcast. Zardcast.com is the website. You should subscribe on iTunes, Overcast, Downcast, Google Play, whichever application you prefer to use. Recommendation, review, also much appreciated. Also, if you found us by way of BaltimoreSportsReport.com, we appreciate you taking the time to listen. Plenty of quality content over there at BaltimoreSportsReport.com. They even have a Capitals podcast, which my good friend, David Keffer, while they have a quality content, you would probably still never listen to it.
Absolutely not.
You're all basketball all the time. It's a fair statement. Duncan P. Roth also of similar mindset. Oh, you're a hockey guy. You like the Flyers.
Yeah, I like hockey. Like Certainly not like basketball, but I like hockey.
Yeah. Dave's just out. Too many white people for you, right?
Mm-hmm. Weren't you at a game last week, though?
I was. I did have a pretty good time. But a lot of it, I was just upset that all these jerk-offs were at this Capitals game and being so much louder than I ever hear anybody at a Wizards game. It's like you can't even appreciate somebody playing basketball instead of skating around.
That's definitely like it's weird that you are like solely a Wizards fan. Like you're not on board with hockey or the NHL, and then you get dropped into a Caps game and you're like, wait a second, why the fuck isn't it this loud all the time? Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, that's like what you would figure the reaction would be, but to hear your pained expression, it really drives it home how depressing Wizards home games are. So there you go. Well, good times, everyone. Glad to be back. Thanks for listening. Thanks, especially if you listened last week. We had probably our most well-received episode ever. I mean, don't get me wrong. We've done a lot of fine work, but last week was... I think we did a particularly good job, and the people noticed. So welcome back. If you do enjoy this and you enjoy the Wizards, tell a friend. Have them give us the old follow. Check out the show.
Well, March is traditionally headphone season, so I imagine it was just a lot of people got new pairs of headphones. They could hear us a little more clearly, and they just kind of were hearing it as it was meant to be heard.
Headphone season, you know, the whiff of spring for me, like early spring, like March spring, that always gets me excited for basketball in general. So,
right, you feel that. Well, I mean, and you just feel that warm spring air for the first time, and I think everybody's reaction is just, what podcast am I going to listen to?
Right, while I'm walking around outside now. Because, you know, I feel like winter is like a TV season. You know, you snuggle inside, you watch some Netflix, but now that you're out and about, audio content is the way to go.
What an interesting theory.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So, like I said, tell a friend. Hopefully we'll have a good one for you tonight. Unfortunately, the Wizards, not doing so well. We're going to walk through a couple losses, hash out some things. Got a Cavs loss, a Pacers loss, a Portland loss. Yeah, so much to discuss. Unfortunately, so here's the deal. So last week, we roll up in this pod, and we jubilantly discuss a four-game winning streak. And now we got to face the music, because the Wizards have been sliding for three games now. And it's bad times. They lose to the Cavs. They basically get boat raced. That one's...
I'm not familiar with this expression, boat race.
I was wondering the same thing when I saw it in the notes.
It is when, like, one team gets out to a really fast start and leaves the other team in the dust. I don't really know why it's
Is that boat typical race. Of boat races?
I suppose so. I would say it's a more of a term used in football vernacular.
Oh, I thought it would be a boat racing term.
I mean, yeah, if outside of boat
race. We really got boat raced in the boat race today.
But that would
maybe they say like drag, like we just got drag raced, you know?
But that would explain why, I guess, why boat racing isn't a bigger spectator sport in this country.
It's all blowouts.
Right, if it's just over right out of the gate. Do they have gates in boat racing?
They might.
We'll dig into this and we'll report back.
They probably have a close race and say, oh man, they were really basketballing out there today.
You know what? We'll do an addendum pod on boat racing and also snowmobiling freestyle, of course.
Right.
Our addendum pod this year is going to be probably 9 or 10 hours long, I think.
Should we alert everyone that we have an addendum pod in the works? We're not sure on the details, but we'll just alert you that something fun coming down the pike. We're approaching 50 episodes here, which is a milestone that would have glossed over all of us if not for Duncan. And so we're going to do something fun.
I like that. I hate how we don't do anything fun in the rest of them.
This is like a real drag.
Mm-hmm.
So look out for, you know, so this is 47, another 2-3 weeks. Keep your peepers open. But as we were saying, you know, boat racing.
The Wizards, a classic boat race.
They were in the boat without a propeller, I guess, if that, that's how that works. We'll explore in the addendum podcast. Who knows how boat racing actually works. They go back to the Verizon Center the next night. They lose a really maddening one. Duncan and I, we can expound upon how we didn't really watch it. I like watched over like a barrier in a restaurant super awkwardly. I did watch the fourth quarter in the following days, but live there. I got to watch that loss, and then we got the Wizards, they go out on a West Coast road swing. Whoa.
West Coast road swing.
West Coast Vets, and they got a sizable lead in the third quarter, theme for this episode, perhaps, and they blow it in overtime eventually. This all leads to their playoff chances shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. I've seen in several places the old 538, ESPN's ABC Disney's statistical spectacular blog. They've got the Wiz pegged at 22% to make the playoffs. Neil Greenberg of the Washington Post agrees with 22%, but also says he's got a few models as low as 9.
Did he mention any higher ones?
22 is where it caps out, Duncan.
Wow.
That's less than a 1-in-4 shot for those keeping track at home. Where do we feel about the Wizards' playoff chances? You know, on the one hand, you know, last week we talked about this 4-game winning streak. They were beating teams they should beat, and then they beat the Cavs as well. So, you know, over that stretch of 4 games, you were hoping that they'd go, you know, 3-1. Over this stretch of games, you were hoping that at least they'd go 1-2. They get swept out of all 3, but, you know, at least with Portland and Cleveland, you know, these aren't games that they're supposed to win. Like, those are losses that, if you're looking at the schedule, that it's not okay to take them, but you're going to take them. But the Pacer game was a different matter, of course. Where do you stand, Dave?
Well, I'm sitting on the couch. But as far as I feel...
You made yourself laugh.
I feel pretty negative about it, to be honest.
Really? You're such a positive guy.
Well, I mean, I'm still holding out hope. Otherwise, I don't really see how I could continue watching, investing any of my time in it. Schedule gets pretty easy for this break here, but, I mean, how many, like, must-win games are they going to lose before eventually it's just time to pull the plug? And, I mean, there's a chance they could save that lottery pick if, you know, and... You can get some more of those ping pong balls. I think it's worth it at a certain point.
I'm kind of on the other end of this one. I think so. When we were talking about it last week, going into those games, they were at 30-30, and we were talking about they would probably need to go like finish up with 43 wins.
Mm-hmm.
So that would mean a record of 13-11 in their last 24, and they're 0-3 to start. But 13-8 still is not. That's not crazy. That's a doable record.
I feel like that's encouraging when you look at the team sort of in a vacuum or in the same lens that we viewed them through the last couple of years, where it's like this is a really talented team. They can beat just about anybody when they're playing well. But that just hasn't been the case. I mean, they're terrible against above 500 teams. They're not winning like any of these games that they really need to win. They had that win against the Cavs, and then other than that, they beat the Sixers twice and the fucking Timberwolves, who, like, half their team can't even drink yet. It's not it's not a tough squad to match up with. So, I mean, I definitely think they have the talent and they're good enough, but I just haven't seen enough to make me think that they'll actually do that.
I kind of, you know, if you're looking at all these games post-All-Star break, I really feel, honestly, there's only two games out of all of them that they lost that they should have won. That would be the Bulls game and then the Pacers game last Saturday. So it kind of, I don't know, it, you know, they win those two games, and I feel like we're feeling a lot more positive, and that's like how thin the margin of error is at this point. I feel like a lot of people are staking out the more negative side of this whole spectrum.
Well, I think it's I also think they should have pretty easily won that Trailblazers game too. Mm-hmm. The Blazers were playing like shit, just couldn't hit any free throws, let Ed Davis absolutely destroy us on the boards. That game was definitely, like, easily could have been ours for the taking. Blazers had been on a little bit of a slide.
And imagine if they'd won, you know, if they'd won that Bulls game against the undermanned Bulls squad, they beat the Pacers, and then they beat the Blazers. It's just weird how, you know, I mean, it's at that point in the season where there's only so many games left, and, you know, they win those three games, and we're on the up and up, you know? We got some quality wins, and things are looking good. But at Duncan, as you said at the same time, they really, what did you say, 11-8? Is that
13-8 would get them to 43 wins.
So, still not an insurmountable task. They certainly have plenty more games that matter a whole lot, kind of like that Pacers game on Saturday, where they can still make an impact. They think they still have two against the Pistons. They got another one against the Bulls. So there's still ground that they can, that is available to them. I get it, though, Dave. Actually, I should mention next week on the pod, we will get Connor Dirks from truthaboutit.net on here. I'm going to pull up what he, I don't know, we were interacting on Twitter, but he's basically out on the Wizards as well, as I think most of those in the blogosphere are. But, yeah, kind of gloomy right now. So I guess we have a duty to run through these gloomy games. I think we can do that for the listening public.
That is our gloomy duty.
Gloomy duty, for sure. I guess what I first want to ask everyone is, does all this make the Wizards the Marco Rubio of NBA teams?
Jesus Christ.
I think Dan Steinberg makes a lot of, you know, as much as you can connect, like, presidential election politics in the NBA.
Man, I could not be more tired of Dan Steinberg.
There, Dave.
I mean, the Wizards are a handsome team, if that's what he's talking about. They got
handsome,
some good-looking
team,
fellas.
Young team.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be their time to rise, and they keep getting smacked, and, you know, while still, you know, still looking good. Their suit.
Well, who does that make the others? Tailored. Does that make the Cavs Trump? And
yes. Oh, absolutely. At first, I want to label with the Trump. Give them the Trump label, but.
Well, that works, too, because you would assume, you know, the way it's looking, that they're way out in front. They can't be caught.
Right.
But then, you know, things break a certain way. Toronto could catch them. So Toronto could be like the Cruz or Kasich.
Yeah, give them the Cruz, or the Cruz logo for sure. And then, you know, the Golden State Warriors could be like your sensible Democrat out west, you know? They're probably going to win the whole thing.
You guys put way more thought into this than Dan Steinberg did, definitely.
Yeah, probably. Okay, so the Wizards are the Marco Rubio of the NBA. Glad we
confirmed.
Yeah, landed on that. Good on you, Dan Steinberg. Let's backpedal here. Let's start with that Cavaliers game this evening. The Wizards, as I said before, boat raced last Friday. We're still not really sure what that means in the boat racing sense. But in the sporting sense, it did happen, and the Wizards lose 108-83. It was pretty much over from the start. The Wizards, one of their many chances to go over 500 this year, and obviously they can't do it. No Kevin Love. Also chance to notch their longest winning streak of the season. But they pretty much get whacked. 10 turnovers in the first half, that'll do it for you. Also, a scare for the Wiz, John Wall hurting his ankle. This wasn't very fun to watch. I actually fell asleep at one point.
What night was this on?
This was last Friday.
This was, I mean, you don't want to lose by 25, but this loss you could pretty much see coming.
LeBron
had sat the last one out in D.C.
They weren't going to lose this.
Then they're on national TV at home, and he plays. Yeah, you could have penciled that one in for the Cavs well before watching the game.
For sure. Not a whole lot to discuss here. We can jump ahead. So you're thinking they get whacked by the Cavaliers. Maybe they can shake it off. You know, lost the best team in the conference. They head back to the phone booth. They've been successful there thus far after the All-Star break. And, you know, they're taking on a Pacers team that essentially this game was a 4-game swing in the standings. I read that 1,000 different places. I still not entirely sure how. I guess it has to do with the tiebreaker. Mm. I think that's where, like, it was like a, you know, because it's a team, you know, you're competing with. It counts for 2, essentially. But then when you add the tiebreaker aspect in there, it makes it a little bit more valuable. So, you know, you're thinking that they can, you know, go out there and pull this one off. But
if you want to know more, just tweet at Preacher B-Ball.
Preacher B-Ball knows.
Preacher B-Ball will break it down exactly why that counted as a 4-game swing. We should get him on. Just like have like a...
just have him call and explain
like a phone a friend option in our podcast whenever we have just something we don't quite grasp. Hit him up.
He's been a valuable resource for us, for sure. Despite all this hopefulness, you know, this big game, the Wizards, they still lose. 100-99. Pretty painful loss, especially because of the last couple minutes there. I will inform the listeners that Duncan and I, we were sharing, not really, I mean, I wasn't eating, but meal drinks at Matchbox on 14th Street.
Revelry.
Yeah.
Friendship yes, times.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We were at Matchbox when we watched that one go up in smoke.
Yeah.
Did that hurt you?
No. And normally, let me do a little more emphatic. I'll do the...
you were describing it earlier. You were kind of... peering over the booth.
Oh, so awkward. So I'm catching,
it was a high booth wall.
Yeah, I was catching it on my phone, so I'm keeping an eye on the score, and I'm hopeful, and then I see things deteriorating, and I like start to like stand. It's a booth that I'm sitting in, so I'm like kind of standing up halfway and peering over this tall wall through some fake plants even to catch a glimpse of the TV. So I caught in real time most of the end of this game, but
and I was just getting the updates.
Yeah.
I also, so I was at dinner for...
Were you in the booth next to us?
Wait a second. I just want to confirm one thing for everyone. We all had real life things to do on Saturday night, and that's a win for us podcasters.
So I was having dinner, and they did have a couple TVs over near me, and I asked the waitress to change the game to the Wizards. It was hockey was on, I think. Nobody was watching it. She went over and put on the Duke North Carolina game.
Ugh.
And I waited, like, I wasn't gonna go like track her down. I figured she just told somebody like put on basketball instead, and they put on that. And when she came over and brought the bread over. I was like, I actually wanted the Wizards game. Could you put that on? She went back over, and the bartender comes over, and he's like, these two guys over here said they're actually watching this. These guys had come in between the time when I asked for the Wizards game to be put on, and they put on this Duke game, and they wouldn't change it. So I had to watch Duke, North Carolina for like 25 minutes. It was terrible.
That's bad. And I feel like that's speaks to a larger problem we find in D.C. A lot of times you go to a restaurant and the bartenders will like fucking snap a wrist to turn the Nationals on or the Caps. But if you request the Wizards to be on television, it's possible you're going to get some pushback.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty unfortunate.
I remember right around this time, or a little bit later than this, because March Madness was in progress, and the Wizards were closer to the end of the season, but the games were important for seeding, and you and I, again, were somewhere, so I don't remember where, but it was somewhere with loads of TVs. Like, every surface was covered in TVs, and I think two of them had the Wizards on, and every other TV had a different March Madness game on, which, that's a big event. I get that taking a lot, but it was like 10% of a ton of TVs had the Wizards.
Literally the worst thing, the thing that drives me. I mean, during the summer, I know that I get there's not a whole lot of options, but there is a spring overlap here between both the Caps and the Wizards. But when the fucking Nationals are on, like game three, and it's like a crucial Wiz or Caps game, and like all the televisions are Nationals. Like, if you go to Cantina Marina when it opens up, like, if the Wizards are on in a playoff game but the Nationals are playing like game 17, fucking get it. Like,
right.
Oh, the worst. Baseball people, get over yourselves.
It's pretty dumb.
I kind of get like the whole like we don't, you know, cater to Wizards fans because there's not a whole lot of them, not a whole lot of clamoring to have their games on television. But like, there's a lot of Nationals games. Like, can we give it a breather for crucial regular season / playoff time? I don't think it's a whole lot to ask. Anyway, sidetrack here, gentlemen.
But so I did end up watching the second half on my phone, and it was just a really unpleasant experience, both in like the form I was watching it on and what I was watching.
You weren't teleported to where the game was, like in the commercials when you watch on your phone?
It didn't really. You're talking about the one where that kid is trying to explain to his like high school girlfriend.
Yeah, why he didn't call or whatever. Yeah. I was in D.C. with John.
Kef wishes he was in D.C. with John. It's been a while probably since he's called you. It's been a while.
He's got bigger problems to worry about.
For sure. Like losing to the Pacers at home in giant playoff consequential mashups. Got to get this out of the way, though, guys. Really great first half by the Wizards.
It was a great half. Although they weren't really up by much, were they, at halftime?
No, I don't have it in front of me, but
they were shooting really well, but they were they were up 8. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll take it for sure. But after that, guys, who's got the answer to this question? How many points did the Wizards score in the second half?
Well,
it's right here on the thing.
I have this note
sheet. Play along, you guys. God damn it. How many points? This is a non-visual medium.
Well, now am I supposed to play dumb and give the wrong answer?
No, just tell everyone what it was.
I feel weird about it now.
Well, it feels like you're mad at us.
Yeah. Well, you guys exposed my charade, so.
It was 35.
Yeah. Is that bad or good?
That's not good.
Yeah. So they scored 35 points in the second half. Even worse, Bradley Beal. He sustains a pelvic injury?
I mean, I feel like.
Can you voice your displeasure with Wizards management for not divulging any information about their injuries?
It's ridiculous to me that they were instantly like, it's a pelvic sprain. which sounds like a really serious thing. And then they're like, he's doubtful to return. So he maybe sprained his pelvis, but he's going to come back in 10 minutes later to play in this game. And then right after, they were like, oh, he's going to travel and maybe play in this series or like in this road trip.
But then he didn't travel.
Then he didn't travel. But now they're saying he's questionable to play. Is it tomorrow night?
Yeah. Or Friday, I believe.
What is... That's tomorrow night. Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Okay. But what, like, what kind of injury is that? What does any of that mean? Isn't your pelvis a bone? How do you sprain a bone like that? Like,
by the connections.
Yeah.
The bone of the muscle. What grinds my gears is, Schwenk, you said they got whacked by the Cavs, and they had a pelvic injury, and yet none of it was pleasurable.
It's the worst kind of... They got a bad mistress is what that means.
You're getting a good pelvic whack.
If you're getting a pelvic whack and it's bad times, then you might want to consider a new pelvic whacker.
I just don't understand any part of this injury, what it's supposed to mean. And if you are in the middle of a playoff race like this, and this guy is maybe going to be your next max contract player, how do you not communicate more and say what is going on with the player? I don't understand that at all.
I think, honestly, I think ultimately the Wizards do end up giving him his max contract extension, but this season is a really bad sign. Maybe the NBA collectively will be like, hey, this guy, maybe not, he might be worth a shade under the max deal, which I think would be ideal for the Wizards at this point, but, like, this is not good.
This is his worst season injury-wise, yeah. Like, I think by far, because he'd never missed a huge amount of time before, like, in a row. He'd missed, you know, a bunch of stretches and was off and on here and there, but he never missed the amount of consecutive games that he did this year, and now this is his third injury this year, right? So there was the shoulder, and then... the stress fracture, and now this, his pelvis.
The pelvis strain.
And
the nose.
Oh, and the nose. And it's just crazy that they, like, if you're planning on, I mean, obviously they're going to make some huge decision, either let him walk or give him a giant contract. And I feel like it's just a terribly run team if they're not even telling you what the issue is.
I feel like this even... you know, this lack of information. Although, I guess you could look at it as from the purview that Ernie Grenfell owes the fans nothing. And he works for his boss. But I feel like, you know, as it relates to Gary Neal, who we'll talk about in a couple minutes, the same sort of thing. Like, you know, you figure just nagging injury all along and, you know, you'd like him ready for the stretch run and... apparently that wasn't a thing anymore, and then all of a sudden he's waived, and you got Marcus Thornton in. And, same old, same old. Same, just like Allen Anderson, too. Which, I mean, I feel like for a fledgling team, like a team that's like, you just traded your first fucking rounder away to make the playoffs, and you're, like, on the skin of your teeth to make it, like, if you don't, like... I feel like just disrespecting the fans. I feel like it's a disrespect move, you know?
And now that you actually just mentioned Gary Neal, it also makes me think, what was Chris Humphreys out for so long with? And then they just shipped him out as well.
Guess what he's doing? He's playing well for Atlanta right now.
Right, and he immediately played when he got to Phoenix.
Yeah, but he was definitely out with a pelvic whack.
So, and we're just... and I read, I don't remember where I read it, but we talked about at the beginning of the season that Gary Neal has sort of a reputation for being kind of like a guy who doesn't mesh well in the locker room. So what if, like, all of those guys are not even injury things, they're just, like, not part of the rotation getting kind of, like, bumped out of? That's all a bad sign.
That wouldn't be, I mean, Randy Whitman's track record is, like, if, I mean, I don't know another, I don't follow other NBA teams closely enough, but, like, he's got to be the poster child for, like, being a doghouse, like, get out of my line of sight kind of guy, you know? Like,
And I don't remember who it was that wrote it I read an article today about how, maybe it was on Truth about it, how Gary Neal did exactly what they asked him to do. Shot really well, and that's all he can do, and that's what they signed him for. And with
I think
Chris,
it might have been Bolts Forever.
Oh. Yeah, I think I saw that one.
My bad. Either way, it was a good article. And Chris Humphreys, you turned him into the dog shit that he was this year. He was right. Fine last year. You're the one trying to make him play outside the three-point line.
That's the thing that gets me, man. I don't mind giving him up for Markieff Morris. The first rounder tilts me more, but, like, he was, like, completely productive and useful and
right.
good last year.
Right.
And then he just turned into nothing. Like, that doesn't make any sense. He's been at least productive throughout his entire NBA career. Like, how does he just turn to dog shit overnight?
The way that he played last year, that's a guy that you can get an asset for, I think.
Right.
And they just essentially, like, wrapped him up with DeJuan Blair and shipped him out for nothing.
I mean, if they shipped him out with just DeJuan, that would have been fine. But, like, the fact, I mean, you never know what to believe with these NBA GMs being like, oh, like, you know, they couldn't get Markieff for anything. Like, well, if that was really the case, like, why did they have to ship our first rounder over there as well? I don't know. As far as this Pacers game goes, we keep hopping off the rails here. This is still a thing we're stuck on, so enjoy it, boys. Brad Beal, he gets hurt, as we said. And as I said before as well, a theme here, Washington, third quarter lead, floating up into thin air, come the third quarter. John did his best to try and put the game on his back, and didn't really work out. Bad rebounding, Garrett Temple turnover, those sorts of things in the last 2 minutes are what contributes to the Pacers getting the slight edge. But I think most people would contribute this loss to free throw shooting, especially the last couple in this game. Overall, the Wizards go 15 for 24 on Saturday night. But in that final minute, both Wall and Nene go 1 for 2 at the free throw line. In Wall's case, his one point out of those two free throws. It ties the game rather than grabbing the lead. And then Nene gives the Wizards a one-point edge rather than a whole possession. And that those are the things that pretty much, I mean, that's what, there are things the Wizards did, but those were probably most central.
I didn't have the volume on, and I was also trying to have a nice dinner with somebody, and so not be like a huge dickhead and just watching this game intently.
Do you care to share where you went to dinner?
I went to Lavagna.
Oh, your spot.
I really like Lavagna. They had a TV flub, but I'm going to let it slide. But
that's the one with the song about it? You know, la 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 Lavagna.
Yeah, but I think that's the Bethesda location. I was at the one on Barracks Row. But why was Gortat not in at the end of the game? If your plan to potentially take the lead at the end of this game is to run a pick and roll, why are you running it to Nene, who's a fucking 56% free throw shooter?
I don't know, man.
Because as soon as he got fouled, you're like, well, fuck, he's going to hit max one of these. Why would that be the thing that they did?
Didn't we talk about it? Was it against the Timberwolves where Gortat just didn't play the entire fourth quarter? It boggles the mind. And Gortat is easily having the second best year. He's the second best player on the Wizards right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Phenomenal year. And Randy just kind of quietly refuses to play him and refuses to say why.
Yeah, his stats are really good when you consider that they're all done in like the first half typically.
Right. And the thing is, I sort of understand. I mean, Gortat kind of fades in and out, but I think we saw in the Trailblazers game when, like, we can't score and we really need a basket, Wall essentially uses Gortat as just, like, an extension of himself. They've run, like, a pick and roll directly down the floor next to each other. Wall somehow finds Gortat and, like, hands him the ball, and Gortat can finish a layup most of the time. that Nene post-up thing where he spins and, like, tries to dunk the ball is cool, but it's not, like, an effective play at the end of the game.
It's, like, a good play in, like, the first and second quarter when he's catching someone off guard, but...
If you... The absolute best play the Wizards have is Wall just force-feeding Gortat, and I don't know why they don't run that all, like, crunch-time situations.
Randy Whitman still... he's got no answers for it either, at least publicly. So that's encouraging, everyone. You're not going to play your second-best player in crunch time. Well, I mean, we're not. We don't proclaim to be basketball coaches, but Randy Whitman.
I coached.
What the fuck?
Coached a little bit, actually.
Oh, okay.
So
can you deliver the message to Randy?
We coach in different circles.
But, like, would you, as Duncan, the basketball coach... It's crunch time for your team, close game. Is there any percent chance that you would bench your second best player in such a situation?
No, especially because when I was coaching, it was middle schoolers, so the whole thing is just giving the ball to your best players, so definitely not.
So what would you put the percentage change at?
Like, he would have had to punch someone or something earlier in the game. We'll give it a 2% because middle schoolers can be... You know, aggressive.
Volatile. You never know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
If we have any tastemakers or people in the locker room talking to Randy after the game, do ask him what's the percentage chance. And in another, you know, not game that you just watched, where would you bench your second best player? I would suspect close to 2%.
Yeah, say that to him if you want somebody to be really rude and dismissive to you.
It would prove everyone's point, though. You could write a snarky column about it. Just saying. Content. On the other end of the court, Paul George, he torches the Wizards again.
That guy's got his butthole stepped on. Oh. Did you see that?
Watching some ACC tournament action.
I think it was a reverse pelvic whack.
It really looked like that guy just stepped
into his butt.
Betwixt his butt crack. Like...
Georgia Tech, right, Virginia. Maybe they got some foot in the actual hole there. That would be ugly. Paul George on the other end, torches the Wiz, sinks two free throws, put the Pacers up for good. The Wiz, they did have a chance to win it. Weird possession, though, at the very end. John takes up the floor. He... kind of looks around for kind of like a, you know, more of a fast break pointage, but really everyone was like set and back. So then he called timeout. But I've been seeing a lot of discussion about this, you know, whether they should have just called, they probably should have just called timeout immediately upon grabbing the rebound. I kind of get why they didn't. I don't think it's that big a deal because the Pacers still would have had time for another shot as well. But then, you know, they call the timeout. John takes a bad shot. He, rather than, you know, dishing it to Dudley or, you know, someone else, he goes for his mid-range jumper, and that fails and doesn't work. So, you know, certainly tons of questionable decisions down the stretch, which we would see on the next time the Wizards play. Yay! So they lose the Pacers. And things are looking mostly shitty. And, of course, every game matters at this point. They head out west for a three-game road swing. Things appear promising for a bit in Portland, but they ultimately peter out in overtime as the Trailblazers win this one 116-101. And I must say, before we talk any game action, I'm really sorry that there was no Dave After Dark.
Dave, what's up?
I mean, I recorded a spicy hour and a half of content.
Was it too spicy, Dave? We might have gotten some notification that it was too spicy.
Little note in the mail from the old Federal Curmudgeon Commission?
It was. It was the FCC, apparently. At first, it was, you know, just... which I thought was fucked up, the lack of transparency that Apple, you know, iTunes was just like, you know... failure to upload or whatever. And then I called customer service, and I don't think she was supposed to say this, but I was talking to Brenda on the line, and she was like, "Oh, this has been flagged by the FCC. I don't know what that is." She didn't even know what that was, but I realized that it was just too out there.
That sounds quite pornographic in voice. Is what you heard?
Was there anything that graphic, or was it just that you got so sensual with your delivery?
It was both. I mean,
you're probably making them ladies tremble at the FCC there.
No, I mean, certainly not just the ladies. I don't doubt that for a second. But it was also the content. I think that's fair. You know, the kinds of things I was talking about. Once I've got the living room all to myself.
Fair.
There's no holds barred. Everything is up for discussion out here.
So they basically returned to sender with a note on the front that said, "Don't do this again," and
well,
here we are.
I haven't heard word on it, but I think there's a decent chance that they're going to press charges against me.
Whoa!
For even trying. So,
do we want to like take the offensive stance and just post the audio and be like, "Now what's up? What's up?"
Well, we could make
it's not that offensive. It's not that sultry.
We can make it part of the for sale CD package.
Oh.
Which is going to have, you know, all the complete collection plus the bonus episodes, and then we could throw in Dave After Dark. Because if we weren't using a record label, if we were distributing it ourselves, we could probably put anything out.
You know what, Duncan? That's why we have you on the marketing team.
I think it's interesting that you guys are, you know, trying to get by on all these technicalities. Like, oh, what can they do to us? They can't do anything to you. What they can do is put me in prison for violating obscenity statutes.
Well, we didn't post it or anything, so I think I think it was more of a warning, it seems. But you know, and I think Duncan's right. You know, if you put it out, you're there yourself. Not a whole lot of rules. It's more like the Wild West. I know you're nervous, Dave. I understand.
Well, we can make it available exclusively to offshore fishermen, where there are no laws.
That I could get behind, because I feel like there's such a tight-knit community out there on their, you know.
So like an international waters exclusive.
Right.
Right.
So like if you've got Wi-Fi and you're flying across the pond, you might be able to catch it,
mm-hmm.
you know, from hours like 3 to 5.
I'm just saying we got to keep this thing off the official grid.
Okay. We'll discuss behind the scenes how to take care of Dave After Dark. But
follow up with former sponsor, Silk Road.
Yeah, for sure.
See if they could help us out with getting it out there.
Well, you know, I listened to it, and it was a good first crack at it. So maybe just going forward, you can review the FCC parameters and give it another shot, you know?
Bunch of fascists.
Yeah.
I'm not going to change my art for them.
You think Donald Trump would help this matter? Tough to say. Tough to say. Let's so no Dave After Dark for the Trailblazers loss. But that's okay. We're going to get his hot takes here. Personally, I watched a very reasonable 5/8 of this game and went to bed in good spirits. I had obligations early in the morning, so I couldn't watch the whole thing. But they had a strong second quarter, surged at the end, able to take the lead into halftime. They extended that lead in the third quarter, and I shut these eyeballs for the evening. While those eyeballs were closed, that third quarter lead evaporated. Shitty free throw shooting. Poor plays down the stretch in regulation and overtime and doom the Wizards. Dave, you commented last week that, you know, the late night NBA games, they have this loopy fun quality to them. Was it loopy and fun on Tuesday night?
No, it was like it was like a bad trip where you think your drugs have been laced with something that you really didn't want. You're not quite understanding anything that's happening, and you really just wish it would all stop so you could go to sleep.
I had a pretty pleasant viewing experience other than the result. Didn't have to be at work till noon Wednesday, so
nice.
Just went to bed early, DVR'd it, woke up and watched it. It was nice. Although the timing of it was a really long game without the overtime and then plus the overtime, I ended up almost being late because I didn't know there was overtime.
Mm. It was just such an ugly game, I thought.
It was really ugly.
Really disjointed. I thought the refs were being dumb, just like breaking up the flow of the game a lot.
It was really weird how they were so picky on some calls. Like, they were calling moving screens constantly on both ends.
Mm.
But then we're letting a lot of contact go both ways on, like, layup attempts. It was kind of odd the way they were calling certain things.
I really, really dislike when people are watching a game and complain about the referees, like, going in one direction or the other. I feel like the only time refereeing really bothers me is when, like, that kind of thing where it just, like, makes the game, like, nobody knows how to play because they don't know what the refs are doing. And that is exactly what happened there. No one had any idea.
Buck was getting real fired up.
Man, that was...
those inbounds.
The inbounds play.
He is so passionate about that. I feel like every single close game, they'll be inbounding. And I don't ever really think about 5 seconds. Like, it's kind of a thing in the back of my mind. But then all of a sudden, he'll just go, oh, and start yelling about 5 seconds.
He does do the whoa, and, unexpectedly.
And this time, he was like, I encourage you, if you're at home, because it's on your DVR, go to your microwave ovens. Time this thing out.
Stand in the room between your TV and your kitchen and time it out. that was a funny remark.
He was very, I mean, he would not stop talking about it.
Yeah. Well, and he would hit him with the old, but you know, that's just the way in today's NBA.
They just want him to inbound the ball.
Yeah. Every opportunity for the offense to score. He was completely right, though, when they did go back and show it. And then somebody made, like, a vine out of it, so those could only be 6 seconds, and it didn't even capture the whole thing.
But
Jared Dudley even chimed in. He was like, see, I knew it!
But don't the players, like, the ref goes like this, right? Like,
yeah.
Waves his arm for every second. Was the ref just doing it slow, or did he do this 6 times with his arm?
He probably was just doing it slow. I don't think he...
Well, and there's not really any, like, complaint there. It's just...
Yeah, well, the player doesn't watch the... Like, you're not looking at the ref do that. I think you have...
But they
you
got to
have an internal
they
clock.
They count and do the thing, don't they?
I don't think so. I think they're just moving their arm. I don't think they're...
I feel like they got to count. Like,
an audible count?
So. They're, like, right next to him.
Yeah.
I've never heard an audible count. I don't play in the NBA, but I still play. I played in plenty of basketball leagues, and I still do. I never heard an audible count.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't, I mean, unless you have, like, crazy peripheral, you're watching the court. I don't think they're looking at arms.
Mm.
Well, the Wizards, they had a chance to win it at the end of regulation. Gortat, though, gets a shit packed by Gerald Henderson.
Gerald Henderson made so many plays. It was very upset. I hate Gerald Henderson.
The worst.
That block.
Oh, and he got so Allen nice. Anderson kicked out of the game.
That was
bullshit. Oh, yeah, of course.
That was real bullshit.
Okay, first of all, there should have been no recourse for anything because it was, like, the most non-conflict thing ever, and then for one of them to get tossed and not the other? Like, are you right. fucking kidding
that
me?
That was just your classic double-tech play-on right. scenario.
Right.
And if anything, Anderson's was just kind of like a reaction, like a get off me. Mm. It came closer to the face, but it was just like a swing of the arm. It wasn't like a at him. Whereas Henderson's, it was like a direct elbow right. to the chest of Anderson.
I mean, how many more? There must be like 1,000 more confrontational plays like that throughout the NBA season. Like DeMarcus Cousins alone has like 26 of them. Like,
right.
I don't know. It just, I like literally couldn't believe that he got tossed for. I felt clueless when it happened. I was like, what? Like, what did I miss there?
I did think it was interesting. I said last week, Allen Anderson was just like more aggressive, did more stuff with the ball than I thought. I didn't know Allen Anderson was like kind of a like jerk. I didn't think he had a reputation for like getting into scuffles like that with people, but. He seemed very comfortable doing that.
You know what? That's what the Wizards need, really.
Could have used it 50 games ago. That would have been cool.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they could have even used it a little bit more that night because that pretty much, like, I mean, no Gary Neal. no Bradley Beal, and then he's out. That pretty much like decimates your 2-3 spot for the Wizards, and
a lot of unproductive Oubre minutes.
Mm. Yeah,
he's been so bad lately.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Is unproductive the word?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Gortat, he blows it on a chance to win. He should have gone in for the dunk. That's easy for me to say, yeah, as opposed to him being on the court. Anyway, offense, disastrous in overtime. They missed their last 5 shots, and it kind of devolved into to Randy Whitman ball and a lot of long twos.
As soon as it was overtime, I had no confidence in a win coming out of it.
I think Lillard even outscored the Wizards, if not in all of overtime, at least for like more than half of it. So there's that. He goes off for, we got to give a shout out to Sacktown Kings. That's
Kings.
Got to give a shout out to Sacktown Kings, KP. He predicted that Lillard would go off for 35. He ended up scoring 41.
So we're shouting out people for being wrong now?
Well, you know, he just was like, hey, guys, he's going to torch the Wizards tonight. Look out.
But I think he predicted like 35 and 11 or something, and he did have 11 assists.
That's pretty good.
Good old CJ McCollum pitched in for 18 as well. And that does it for the Wizards in these last 3 games. So,
bunch of idiots.
Yep. Do want to play this one? Oh no, sorry, I don't have the volume turned up on the soundboard. Oh God, it's everywhere.
Gary.
You know what? It's okay that it played 1.5 times because this could be the last time we ever played it. Because Gary Neal is gone from the Wizards. Replaced. He's been waived. They sign Marcus Thornton.
Marcus Thornton had a really good start to the year and then stopped getting minutes. But he was doing really well in the first, I don't know, 20 games or so for the Rockets.
Is there any difference between the two, though? I feel like their games are almost identical.
I'd agree.
And you know what? That's okay because we just need a warm body out there.
They even kind of look alike. But yeah, I guess.
I mean, as we said earlier, the Gary Neal thing speaks to just any lack of information from Wiz Brass on what's going on over there. And I guess good on him for, I guess if Gary Neal's injury was serious, maybe he was a detriment to the locker room. You know, it could have been a confluence of things, but, you know. I guess glad that they could basically just replace him with someone who should have about the same impact, which is really all you need, you know? You just need someone to go out there and give you 10, 15 minutes at the two. Like, they're not asking for a whole lot, so.
Especially because we don't know if Beal is going to be back next game or maybe next season or, I mean, don't you think it's possible that they could be like, oh, he'll be reevaluated in a week. Like, they could say that in
every
2 days.
Every week, yeah.
And, yeah.
For the end of the season, yeah. Yeah, that is the issue here.
He had a nice goodbye tweet, Neil. You guys see that?
No, what did it say?
I guess he's from here, or this area at least.
He tweeted. Went to Towson.
Yeah, he tweeted something like, just feel grateful to the Wizards for the opportunity to play for my hometown or something like that.
Did he mention Zarkast?
I think he had a follow-up tweet that was like, might not be there physically, but I'll be listening every week with Zarkast.
I'm really annoyed right now. I looked up, I searched Google Gary Neal tweets, and the first thing that comes up is one of those robo accounts, at Gary Neal News.
Does he have a Twitter? I'm not.
There's a Gary Neal News robo account.
I don't think he does.
Yeah, Gary Neal News, right here. We tweet breaking news stories about professional NBA player Gary Neal.
I guess if he doesn't have his own Twitter, then
lifetime in that.
It has 3,336 followers.
Jeez.
I mean, I guess they must all be like bots, right?
I mean, there's like a million of these. There's like a million of them, like devoted to the Wizards. Like, I don't. Someone needs to do a hashtag long form journalism on these fucking robot accounts. Like, I just don't understand like how there are so many of them, how people follow them. I don't get any of it. The site that this account links to is all not in English. Now that I'm looking through it, SNS Analytics. Well, farewell to Gary Neal. Could he fucking used him? Like, as shitty as he was on defense, like, good God, we could have just used a guy who could make a couple shots in the last many weeks, actually. So glad that he's been subbed out and replaced with Marcus Thornton. That's cool with me. Let's take a look at the Eastern Conference standings here. You've got the Cavaliers in the top spot still. Toronto is 2.5 games out of that. The Boston Celtics sit in the 3 seed at 39-26. You got the Miami Heat behind them in the 4. Atlanta Hawks at the 5. Charlotte in 6. The Pacers in the 7 slot and the Bulls in the 8. Then you've got the Pistons outside looking in. I guess they're a half game out of the 8 seed, and the Wiz are
2.5.
2.5, yeah. I can't do math on the spot, so there you have it. It's still there. That Pacers game hurts. They've got a game with Detroit upcoming, as well as Chicago. So, and I think they got to win these games at Utah and at Denver. They fucking have. If they lose these two games, I don't care that they're back-to-back. I don't care that they're on the road. I don't care that they're on the West Coast. They have to win these next two games.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll know pretty quickly whether this is a thing that is possible or not.
I mean, they got Utah at Utah, at Denver, and then Detroit at home in the next 3. I mean, if they go 2-1 in that, things are looking ugly.
Yeah.
Uglier than they already are. I mean, it's pretty much over at that point, right? Right?
I don't know. I just think they need to win.
If they win 2 out of 3, they hit that 13-8. They go above that.
I think they need to win 4 of these next 5 coming up here.
So take the first 4 and lose the Sixers?
That sounds ideal.
Yeah, let's dive in the next games here. So they got Utah on the road Friday night, at Denver Saturday night, in the phone booth on Monday night for Detroit, Wednesday at home for Chicago, and then Thursday, March 17th, at Philly.
Yikes.
I mean...
All winnable?
All of them winnable.
That's the scariest part about it, is that it'll be that much more disappointing if they can't do it.
So are they really winnable at this point? I feel like that is like the conversation. Like, that's right. The Marco Rubio thing, like, hey, he looks great. You know, he does well in specific polling in places that are set up on a platter for him, but you never know. Okay, well.
How many are we going to predict?
Yeah, I guess we had to predict some game matchups here. Also important, do we want to record Thursday or Tuesday, or is that or not? It's a thing we can determine at the moment.
No way of knowing, really.
I only suggest Tuesday because of March Madness, but obviously I'm open to potting and watching March Madness with you guys.
I could probably do Tuesday.
Tuesday it is.
So we'll cap it. So we'll predict the next 3 then. 3-0.
Yeah, I think when we all came to a consensus last time, we knocked it out of the park. We were correct. So I think we should all just go with 3-0 here.
All right. And just like last time also, should we join hands as we say it?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
One, two, on three, three and oh. One, two,
three. Three and oh.
Okay.
There it is.
If you say it at the same time and hold hands, it must be true.
So we're back
to 500
now.
All of the
now.
Listeners could say it along with us when you listen, particularly if you're on a form of public transportation by yourself.
And
that would definitely help.
If you want to get back to where I were, you can just hit that rewind 15 seconds right now, and that should bring you right there.
Do it if you know it's good for you. That's all I got for this evening, boys. I don't know if you guys have anything on your mind. I think we should just at least play this weekend, John Wall, just for good energy, you know?
Ni hao, baby.
Ni ha washi John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John was just a boy.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall of the Washington Wizards.
A spectacular circus shot by John Wall.
Everybody do it, John Wall. Do it, John Wall. Do it, John Wall.
You know, John's a good guy, and I enjoy watching him play, and I don't really have much to say about him this week. Not to say he's not playing well.
He played well. He played okay Blazers game, but he shot real bad.
He's been shooting like dog shit recently.
Even against the Pacers, you know, he kind of pulled together in the last couple minutes, but he still shot 9 for 24, 25 points, 12 assists, 6 rebounds.
It's tough to criticize him when Beal isn't starting. He's the best 3-point shooter
right
in the starting lineup.
He's the whole offense.
It's tough to criticize him, but god damn, if he could hit just a couple more of those shots from mid-range, it's brutal to watch.
Against the Blazers, I couldn't believe how many of them were, like, ugly misses, too.
Right.
Missing, had a couple air balls, couple that only hit backboard.
Like, over the rim, hit the backboard on the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had some real ugly ones. And then a pretty big three.
Yeah.
So
I thought for a second there he was going to win it on
the
three.
Second one, yeah.
That would have been...
That was a pretty bad miss, though, actually, also. But he plays good.
He does play good.
He plays good. He's good at basketball, though.
He is good at basketball. I mean, like I said, he shot 9 for 24 against the Pacers, but he had 25 points, 12 rebounds. Cavs is assuredly garbage game, but 17 points... 7 assists, 7 rebounds, and then against the Trailblazers, he actually went 3 for 6 from 3, 20 points, 11 rebounds, and I'm sorry, 11 assists and 4 rebounds. So there you go.
What have you guys been watching lately?
I thought this week's episode of OJ was spot on with all about Marsha. I think it was called Marsha. That was good.
Is that really what it was called?
I think so. And actually, I think this is... I wanted to bring this up with you guys. The new Game of Thrones trailer. Very excited for Thrones.
I've chosen not to watch. I'd like to be as surprised as I can be, particularly with that show when I like audibly react to stuff that happens pretty frequently. So if I can have it be even more surprising, I'm gonna. So I didn't watch that trailer. I told someone if I was watching like something else on HBO and the trailer came on, it would be hard not to. But at this point where like I have to go to a link to watch it, avoiding it.
Man, I need all the help I can get trying to figure out what the fuck is happening on Game of Thrones. I don't know if I'm an idiot. I'm just not paying enough attention, but not a single episode goes by where I'm not like, who the fuck is that guy? What is happening right now? I didn't get big chunks of the trailer, didn't understand what was happening.
I think it's probably for most Game of Thrones fans, not getting the trailer. Lots of subtle things going on there. You know, they splice like a half-second clip. I saw something that was like, oh, here's Jon Snow's body. Like, here's could be Jon Snow in this, like, you know.
Frame.
Yeah. Whatever. I also got to say, this week's episode of Walking Dead, probably the best of the season so far. Taking out the saviors, I'm all about it.
Oh, man, that was a good one.
Where they're knifing people in their sleep, although don't really know how they're getting away with making all this noise and then just stabbing people in the face as they're sleeping. I'm willing to suspend my disbelief.
They open that door into their room, like the light shining in from the hallway, and they just stood there for a minute pondering.
Like very dramatic pauses before stabbing someone in the face.
And they always stab everybody so lightly. They're just like, ugh. Like, you got to stab somebody pretty hard, I think.
Even if it's a zombie who's got a rotting skull, like, right. I feel like you still got to give him a good,
yeah. Yeah. You're not going to be able to make your, like, dramatic, what have I done face while you're stabbing. You're going to be, ugh.
For sure.
Well, Better Call Saul. You guys watching?
Didn't watch the most recent week, but I'm all in on Saul.
That's my favorite.
Very good.
By a mile. There's nothing else I'm really even actively watching. I guess I'm behind on OJ. I like it, but that's more like I like it because it's fun.
I get so mad at his dumb brother for being allergic to electricity or thinking that he is. That makes me so angry.
I heard an interesting argument about why Saul isn't very good, which I didn't really like, but I'll throw it out there to you guys. The fact that Mike is the most interesting character in Saul, and the fact that we know that he cannot die, so he's basically a god in that realm. Does that take any like suspense away? And same thing with Saul. Like, if you already like kind of know the end game that he's stuck at that Cinnabon, and you know he's just like the lawyer in all of this. I don't. It doesn't detract away from it for me, but that's one angle of it.
If you look at it as like a different show, you wouldn't be expecting people to just be dying all over the place.
You didn't. Right. You never thought Walt or Jesse were gonna die.
Yeah, I guess it's true. Especially Walt.
Yeah.
I guess maybe there more of the argument was like that the side character is the most interesting, but you know they can't, they will not do away with him. Although they could be like, hey, he goes off and does X for this amount of time. We don't see him, so.
I don't know that I agree that he's the most interesting anyway. He's interesting for sure, but I'm just as interested in old Jimmy.
Jim.
Slipping Jim.
Jim!
Do you think this is compelling listening for all of the people that don't watch these TV shows?
Unquestionably.
You know what? I feel like we had some strong Wizards talk tonight, but our pop culture detour that, you know, unless you're watching, then might have turned off. We didn't get our sound effect for pop culture detour.
Oh, I thought you had it on the soundboard by now.
Maybe I'll get it. Okay, so let's pop. Pop culture detour. I'll have it on the soundboard next week.
And then we got to get that dinosaur one ready, too.
Yeah. A lot of a big...
Do we have any dinosaur detours this week? Any facts? Any fun facts? Or just news about upcoming Jurassic movies or anything like that?
Well, they're going to do a sequel to Jurassic World.
Jurassic Universe?
Sounds good to me. And I will be there on day one, I got to tell you. I saw the latest... I'm a big Jurassic Park fan. Fan of the franchise. I saw the latest one on the Monday after it was released. It killed me all weekend long to not see it. So I will be there for whatever they throw out at me, even if it's just generic Chris Pratt talking to raptors. You know, I could watch that for 2 hours, I think.
What if it was Chris Pratt talking to like Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan?
I'd probably be out. I'd be out.
What if it was Chris Pratt talking to former Raptors?
Might lean more in, you know?
Vince Carter, Chris Bosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Then I'd be Damon in.
Star. I was actually thinking of, like, dinosaur raptors who transitioned to other dinosaurs.
Oh, I see.
I don't think we should, you know, alienate the trans dinosaur community because it's a big population these days.
Yeah, and they're just kind of burgeoning with their, you know, their... Just their public spotlight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to hush them down too much, you know. We don't want to overexpose them. They're trying to go at it subtly. Is that funny to you, Dave? I think this is a very serious matter. The trans dinosaur community.
I think we should probably hang this one up.
All right. Well, let's get out of here on that. There it is. There's that music. Means it's time to go. So we'll return next week and talk Wizards for better or for worse. And maybe we'll talk some more trans dinosaur community as well. So on that note, you should follow us on Twitter at Zardcast. You should subscribe to the podcast. And farewell to you until next week. For David Keffer, Duncan Perfect Roth, I am CT Schwenk. That was Zardcast.